Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For Joshua and for us, meditation in the Word of God builds faith. Meditation involves analyzing the Scripture, asking three questions. What does it teach me about God? What does it tell me to do? And what promises can I claim? For more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on Disciplines That Grow Godliness, Dr. Lutzer concludes the discipline of meditation. We're in Joshua chapter 1, where we learn that our meditation in the Word includes finding promises to hang on to.
That's so important. You see, because unless the Word of God is being absorbed in your mind, it is not going to stay with you throughout the day. Analyze. It involves those three questions. What does it teach me about God? What does it tell me to do? Is there a promise here that I need to hang on to? What one phrase, what one insight have I gleaned from the Word today that is going to carry me through the whole day? First is analyze. The second is memorize. Memorize. Now, you can do this differently. You can memorize a whole section of Scripture. I'm trying to work through 1 John chapter 1. But you can do that, or what you can do is to memorize even that verse that you have chosen in that chapter, or at least a fragment of that verse, so that it will carry with you. This week I began my devotions in the morning in 2 Corinthians. So I read a chapter, I asked the text questions, but I did not leave it until God had spoken to me and unless I had something for the day. Because if you leave it before that time, of what value is it when you close the Word of God and then go somewhere else and begin your responsibilities? So what you do is you memorize. Oh, you say, it's not possible for me to memorize. You know, I wish I had enough money to do something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had enough money here in the church, and we could arrange that if some of you gave us enough money to pull this off. And we told the congregation some Sunday that for every new verse that you memorize this week, from this Sunday to next Sunday, we give you $100 per verse for every new verse that you memorized. Now, I venture to say, that people who have not memorized the Word of God ever, they have not learned a single verse, would suddenly find that God had given them the gift of memory. And they would say, just on Sunday, we noticed that God gave me this ability. You know, the fact is that we can remember anything that we want to remember. I'm even remembering yesterday's score, even though I've tried to forget it. I mean, it's amazing how there are things that lurch in your mind if you want them to lurch in your mind, and sometimes when you don't want them to lurch in your mind. The first is analyze, the second is memorize, and that is not enough because there are people who know the Word of God. They have been schooled in the Scriptures, and they are harsh, they are uncaring, they are not filled with the Spirit. You look into their life, there's no love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness. They are filled of criticism, and the Word of God has had no effect in their lives. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that even to the Israelites, the Word of God was preached, but it did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith, it says, in them that heard it. So what is the third word? The third word is personalize. Personalize. And how do you personalize the Scripture? You personalize it by submitting yourself to its authority. In the midst of that devotional time, God is always pointing out in my life things that have to come under the umbrella of God's sovereignty. And if I'm going to read the Word and absorb the Word, I have to come under its authority. And that's when we are doing our repentance in the sight of God, our yieldedness. And so we are submitting ourselves to God and submitting ourselves also to one another. You know, God uses the Holy Spirit of God to reveal sin in our hearts, but He also uses other people too. It's amazing. I would never know how selfish I was were I not married and have some kids. It's amazing how being a part of the family helps you to be reminded of your weaknesses. I was at a pastor's conference this summer where a pastor said, you know, he said, many people ask, how do I remain humble when I have so many people, you know, telling me how wonderful I am after I preach and everything? He says, for me, he says, it's no problem at all. He says, all that I have to do is go home. And that takes care of it. And he said, you know, my family has had a very difficult time accepting my godhood. And I listened to that and I thought, you know, I can really identify. My wife and children have had a very difficult time accepting my divinity. And they have helped me a great deal in pointing out things in my life that need to change. Now, that's what happens when you personalize the scripture. You begin to say, this is for me. This is for me. And God uses other people. And sometimes he'll use other people, give a word of encouragement, and that word of encouragement will just change everything. Martin Niemöller, who was one of the pastors who stood against Hitler, in his biography, there's a very interesting story. Just imagine this now. Niemöller is being marched to his trial. It was a total kangaroo court. It was a complete setup, and everybody knew how it was going to end. And he knew that he'd be imprisoned or maybe put to death. Okay, here he is. He's taken from his cell to the courtroom with a guard who marched with him step by step all the way along the line with his bright Nazi uniform. And as they were going up the final set of stairs, Niemöller says that he overheard some words, and he didn't even know where the words were coming from because the expression on the guard's face was totally without emotion. But as he was going up the stairs, he discovered that the guard was the one who was speaking, and he was whispering to Niemöller, "The name of the Lord is a righteous tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." Proverbs 18, verse 10. Niemöller says that that guard, whom he never saw again except at a distance, will never know what he did for me at that moment, because he said, the moment I came into the courtroom, the first thing I saw was a picture of Adolf Hitler. And he says, the reminder of the fact that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and those who run into it are safe, he said, totally transformed that trial. And even though he was found guilty and imprisoned, he was victorious because of a verse of scripture given at a moment of time. And you and I need to encourage one another in that way. So what do you do? First of all, you analyze, you memorize, and you personalize. And the Word of God does the transformation. Now, what was this going to do in Joshua's life? He was going to go around Jericho, and as you know the rest of the story, he did. If he had not been memorizing the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, he'd have become a wall watcher. What he'd have done is say, now look, you guys, we're up against these folks. What I want to do is to do an analysis of the weight of the walls. I want you to find out how deep the foundation is. I want you to estimate the number of tons of concrete, of mortar that are in these walls. I want you to see their heights. Let's figure out exactly what we are up against. That's what a wall watcher would do. But Joshua said to himself, I don't need really to know even the height of the wall or the depth of the foundation. If I am meditating in the law of God day and night, God will take care of the wall. What I need to do is to take care of my heart. And if I take care of my heart, God will take care of the wall. And it was with that confidence that he was able to march. You know, because I was born and reared in a rather remote part of the world, I was quite old before I saw my first lion. You know that old joke that says that there was a zoo in our town and they had to shut it down because the chicken died? There's some truth to that. Only when I grew up did I realize that that was supposed to be funny. But I went to this town, and my parents took me to a zoo, and I saw the lion for the first time. I won't tell you the name of the town, because you won't believe the name of the town. But on the other hand, if I was being interviewed today by a commentator, she might say to me, just whisper it, just between us. So I'll tell you, just between us, the name of the town was Moose Jaw. Seriously, I'm not making it up. Not making it up. But I remember as a child seeing the lion and being scared. But my parents weren't scared. And the difference was because as a child, I was seeing the lion and my parents were seeing the bars on the cage. And when it comes to seeing Satan, if we look at him directly, we can become terrified. We can say, my Jericho is too big, the walls are too high, it can't be scaled, there's nothing that can be done about it. And we become convinced about that if we look at the lion. But when we look at the lion of the tribe of Judah, and when we look, as it were, at the bars, and when we see that the lion, for all of his roaring, is toothless because Jesus Christ has won a victory over him, then through faith we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, because we meditate in the law of God during the day and during the night. We analyze, we memorize, and we personalize, and God begins to do the transformation. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me give you a verse to meditate on. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Meditate on that. Here's another one for you. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Meditate on those words, and let the word of God do its work in your heart. May it latch like a fish hook in your soul until you say, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. I receive the free gift of eternal life. I trust you wholly and completely. And I urge you to do that.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I've ended this message today with a personal plea to those of you who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, if the Holy Spirit of God has been working in your heart and you find yourself being drawn to Christ, stop what you are doing right now and believe in Him. Take those promises that I mentioned and accept them as your very own. Personalize. That promise. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior and have come to trust Him, I hope that we will begin that lifelong process of meditation in God's holy word. Isn't it interesting that the Lord God actually gives us the cure, if I can put it that way, to our soul's diseases? He actually gives us the prescription that will lead to success. And He gives this to us, and oftentimes we are unwilling to receive it and to do what is necessary. I hope that beginning today, we all get up a few moments earlier, or we take out time during our hectic schedules, and we give our minds and our hearts to the Word of God. We analyze, we memorize, and we personalize. And as a result, we're transformed into the image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Next time on Running to Win, we turn our attention to the discipline of generosity. Plan to join us. This entire 5-part series on discipline can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.